This morning, the message is about the discipline of God's disturbing us. There are times that the Lord just allows things to come up in our life and we wonder, why, Lord, why me, why now, why this? And we have a lot of whys, but I'm going to tell you that God's word gives us some very clear understanding of what is going on in our life if we are a child of God. We read just a few moments ago a very small portion of the Song of Moses. And the Song of Moses, as you can well imagine, is about God bringing his people through and the hardships they went through, but also, as you notice, some of the stupidity that they went through of running and turning from God, and then how God brought them back out of their need and into his presence. I want to share with you again the last two verses that we read together there. It says in verse 11 and 12, if you got your Bible open, turn just to those. I won't read through the whole song again, but in verses 11 and 12, it says that he shared this song with them about their rise and fall and where they were. And it says, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about Israel. He's talking about the man that became known as Israel. He's talking about the people that became known as Israel. So when you talk about the man Israel, you almost always talk about the people Israel. That was Jacob. But the understanding here is that he brings an analogy of an eagle and the way an eagle handles its young as the way God handles us. Now, just for your information, how many of you just came back with us from Alaska? Let me see your hands. How many of you saw eagles while you were there? Everybody that was there saw eagles. You know, it is really a fantastic thing to see such an incredible and majestic bird there and to watch them and some of their habits. Well, experts on the eagle tell us that when it comes time for a young eaglet to fly, when it comes time for it to leave the nest, that the mother begins a very unusual process, and the parent bird first tries to coax the young eagle into flight. He tries to kind of say, you know, kind of showing off, showing him what to do, kind of nudging him around. Well, if that nudging fails, the mother eagle resorts to what might seem some pretty harsh treatment. First, in trying to force her offspring out of the nest, she begins to remove some of the comforts of home. Now, I'm going to tell you, this might be a great example for some of you who need to get some kids out of the nest. If the shoe fits, okay? But when she pushes them just a little bit, you know, well then she begins to make him uncomfortable. And this is a discipline of disturbance to try to get the young eagle to do what it's supposed to do. She accomplishes her desire by design to push the young eagle into its first flight. Now, Moses laid a hold of this wonderful picture, and he shows us that this is how God acts towards me, and this is how God acts towards you. You see, the people of God had settled down in Egypt, and God was going to stir their nest. Now, you may recall some of the history here, that you recall that there was a great famine in the land, and that Jacob had 12 sons. And those 12 sons were taking care of things, but they were hungry. And you remember that they weren't hungry at that time. They had a youngest son that they decided they wanted to get rid of. His name was Joseph. And they sold him into slavery. He went off to Egypt, and God had a design in that, no doubt. But after he had, through God's provision and God's showing them what was going on, had saved the lands and the countries around, all of Jacob's family then moved to Egypt. Do you remember that? And we kind of forget it there. We kind of say, oh, well, they moved to Egypt. Well, what happened after that? They stayed there. You see, God was going to be leading them to a place where they needed to be, and they stayed in Egypt because it was convenient. They stayed, and they stayed, and they stayed, and they stayed, and they grew so big that Egypt finally said, you know what we're going to do? We can't have this. They're going to overtake us. So they put them into slavery. They overtook them. They put them into slavery, and for years and generations then, they became slaves. That's where you hear about Egypt again, right? And we know that story. We know about Moses being called of God to lead his people out of bondage. And we know that part of the story. But before we got to that place, They had become complacent. They were happy where they were. And they even decided that they were going to be complacent in Egypt in slavery. Go figure. God's people, a free people, and they're going to decide, hey, we're just going to stay here. So what did God do? God began to stir them up. He began to give them problems and difficulties. So that's the same thing that's going to happen with the eagle. And that's why we have this this analogy here. So let's look at this discipline together and see how they work together. The reason for this divine disturbance is of God. First of all, the scripture said there in verse 11, it says, as an eagle stirs up its nest, so does the Lord. As an eagle stirs up the nest, so does the Lord. Why does God have to go stirring up our nest? Have you ever just gotten things, you know, everything's just fine, God. Don't add anything. Don't take anything away. I'm happy right where we're at. Have you ever been there? And then all of a sudden, things begin to happen. God stirs us up for a purpose. You see, God uses the discipline of disturbance to teach us that we can actually live beyond our circumstances for Him. Not just that we could live, but that we might, not we just might walk, but that we could fly. That we could do more and more than we ever thought we could. Moses is teaching them, as he's teaching us now through God's word, that as an eagle will stir the nest up for his young, her young ones and his young ones, so the Lord does the same thing for us. Now, where do you think the eagle learned it? God told the eagle to do that and showed the eagle how to do that. That's where the nature of all things come from. But understand that the construction of the eagle's nest is very interesting. First of all, it's huge. They can weigh hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds, and they can be as large as 6 to 8 feet across. Huge nests. Now, understand that when the eagle is making this net, that it is it has first a as all nests do, it's going to have a base, it's going to have a big bowl, and it's going to be made out with sticks and limbs and all types of things. But then the next layer, the floor of the nest, is laid with very sharp thorns and sharp sticks. Sharp, very sharp. And then the eagle begins to lay a covering down over those thorns and sharp sticks. It'll take leaves, it'll take soft grass, and then literally, as it's about time for the eggs to be laid, then the mother eagle will begin to pluck down from her own body. She'll catch a rabbit. She'll use the rabbit fur to line the bottom of the nest so that's nice and soft and comfortable when the eggs get laid in there. Now, does that make sense? Now, that's the kind of nest that we know about. That's the kind of nest that we like. So the young eagles are comfortable sitting in the nest because as they're born, they got this nice, soft layer. And as they sit and wait, the mother brings them food, and they think, oh, what a great place. Everything's just wonderful. I'm getting fed. I've got a warm place to live. Everything is great. But understand this. There's going to come a time that the mother bird is going to start feeding that baby bird. There's an analogy there that we really need to take on in this world, because the baby bird at some point is going to have to begin to fend for itself. Amen? That's life. So what does she do? As she is feeding the bird and the birds begin to grow, she begins over time to begin to remove the soft down that was in there. She'll remove the fur. She'll remove the down that she put in there. And it gets them down to the leaves, and it gets to be a little sticky and a little crackly. And then she begins to move those the leaves and the softer limbs, and she gets down to the point where it is downright uncomfortable because those thorns begin to prick the bird when they sit down. Ouch, they have to stand back up. The thorns poke and the sticks prod. And so the bird, instead of nestling down, begins to stand up on the edge, and the longer that they have to stay in there, they get tired. So they move away from the bottom of the nest, and they crawl up on the edge. Do you see what's going on here? Then the mother will begin to nudge them to take off and fly. And if they don't, you know what she does? She pushes them out. She says, get out. And she shoves them out, and they literally, from the wind in their faces, are falling down, as you can just imagine this. They get into what's called a flap. You ever heard of, she's in all in a flap? Well, it just means beating their wings with no real, you know, purpose and without any real effect. Well, they get in a flap, and sooner or later, as they get in this flap, they begin to find, hey, I'm slowing down, and they begin to understand it. Some of them do, and some of them on their very first push actually learn how to fly. Most of them don't. And as you probably already know, if that eaglet is falling down and is going to bash upon the rocks, the mother eagle will soar down past the baby eagle and will spread her wings and come right underneath it, and the little eagle will fall and land right on the spread wings on her back. And what will she do? She'll take it right back up to the nest. Isn't that cool? Do you understand that the scripture says, so the Lord alone does this for his people? Moses is saying here that the Lord stirs up our nest as well. And it's not just so that you have suffering. And it's not just so that you have difficulty, but it's for a purpose. And that purpose of that seemingly harsh treatment is so that you will get out of the nest. Moses is saying here that Lord stirs up the nest for a purpose, and that purpose is to accomplish God's will, to accomplish his will, not your own will. So we've got a divine disturbance and a purpose for that disturbance. Now, there's something else, and that's the resources that come in divine disturbance, because God does not leave us to our own sources, to our own abilities. First of all, I want you to understand that a lot of times people get into trouble and they have problems, and it's not because God is trying to strengthen them. It's because they pulled the plug themselves. They got in trouble. They did something. We do something dumb. We do something difficult. We get into sin, and we face the consequences of sin. That's not divine discipline. That's just discipline, okay? That's not divine disturbance. That is sin disturbance, and we've got to get through that. We've got to learn our lesson. We've got to repent. We've got to get back to God. But there are other times, and yes, God can use those, but there are other times that everything seems to be going just fine, and God begins to let things happen to us. That is the difference between a divine disturbance and a worldly disturbance. In verse 31 in chapter 31, verse 30, our text tells us that this is a song of reminder of Moses to the people. A reminder of what? That there are some things that happen in divine disturbance that God wants you to learn and know. First of all, is a knowledge of God's plan. When you're going through a hardship, when you're going through a trouble, when God seems to be able to bring some things on you, you need to understand that God has a plan. It's not just to let you suffer. In their discomfort, God had planned for the people to grow closer to himself. You see, they had gotten complacent and they quit trusting God. They forgot that God had a place for them to go. God had a place for them to be. He had a promised land, but they weren't going there because they seemed to be just happy where they were. You may recall that in Exodus chapter 19 that God asked his people to remember. Verse 19 and 4 of Exodus says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. You see, he didn't just let the Egyptians put suffering on them for no reason. It was to draw them closer to himself. So understand, this analogy is for us. Difficulties that God allows to come on you, your family, you as an individual, your church, or to draw you closer to him. Moses says, hey, there's a reason for all of this. It is the same plan for us. Just like the eagle, removing all the stuff, making it uncomfortable, feeling like you're shoved out of the nest. God hasn't changed. He still uses that discipline of disturbance. He's still working. Do you believe he's still working? God is still working. And he's working for this, to bring us closer to himself. So divine disturbance also brings assurance of God's presence. God's not going to leave you alone. Can you imagine what that young eagle is thinking? I mean, I know he's thinking, wow, man, the home is just not as comfortable as it used to be. Guess I'll go hang out on the front porch. And then when he gets out on the front porch, his mom goes, see ya. Can you think what that eagle's thinking? My mama, my very own mother, has shoved me out of the nest. I'm going to die, and it's mama's fault. Listen, I could go through all kinds of statements here, could I not? It's mama's fault. It's daddy's fault. I'm not ready. I just don't think I can handle it. I mean, so on and so forth. It could go on. Among his thoughts have got to be, if he's human thoughts, he's got to be thinking, I've never used these wings before. What am I going to do? So he panics. And he begins to get in that flap we talked about. He says he's fallen through the air. All of his security is gone. Oh, how I wish I could just get back to what? That prickly, poking, terrible nest. Why? Because it seems to be better than falling. to your death, right? That's how Israel reacted. That's how Israel worked when they were talking with God and when they were working with God. Because you see, in Numbers chapter 11, the scripture tells us that that the people of God did the same thing. It says, now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving, so that the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlics, but now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing except this. And I imagine they said, dumb manna before our eyes. Nothing but man. Listen, where was this? This is when they were out in the wilderness and they had no food. And they were growing tired of manna. Well, did we have other good things to eat? Listen, they looked back and said, oh, I owe that we could be back into slavery. Do we do that? Sure we do. Oh, what are we going to do? This is terrible. But that's not the end. God's not through working. When you finally get to that point to say, what are we going to do and how are we going to handle it? And that bird is literally falling down and it's in the flap. There's another sound as it is trying to gain its correctness and its to keep from falling. And all of a sudden there's a swoosh that goes past it and it's the mama. She goes down past him and she flutters her wings and he lands safely. And you see, mama bird had never taken her eyes off of the baby eagle. She was watching the whole time. And when he failed to fly, she went and rescued him. Listen to this. I'm not talking about when you get yourself in a pickle. I'm talking about when God allows you to go through divine disturbance, his eyes are on you all the time. And even though you are trying, and even though you may be flapping, even though you don't feel like you're getting anywhere, you can't orient yourself well. Listen, God never takes his eyes off of you. And he will come in to lift you up and to give you strength and to help you through. You see, the Lord of the universe is always near his children. Always. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 tells us, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself, God himself, has says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There are times that we can walk out from under his protective umbrella in our sin. But when God allows the discipline of disturbance to come into our life, he never leaves us. Have you ever known the experience of spiritual panic? Have you ever had one of those things? You just, you know, most of us have, you know, God, what are you doing? God, why are you doing this? And so forth. But I want you to remember this, even in those times, the Lord our God is always near to the believer whose restfulness God disturbed. Do you understand? There's one more resource, and that is a guarantee of God's power. Now, let's get back to God's analogy here of the falling little eagle. Now, on his descent and seeming fate of death to be dashed on the rocks, the mother has again, she's come in, she hovers right over her offspring and sees him floundering, and if he's not going to make it, what does she do? Her majestic wings are spread out. She comes underneath him, she picks him up, and the little fella lands on her back and regains his balance. Do you know what that's called? Sustaining power. Because there are times in our life that we seem to be constantly in a free fall, but it is God's strength and God's power that will give us the strength to keep on keeping on. You see, as an eagle spreading out its wings, the scripture said, and taking them up, carrying them on its wings, scripture says, so the Lord led him. I think a lot of our problem is that we take our eyes off God, is it not? Like Peter walking on the water, took his eyes off the Lord and began to watch the tempest instead of God. The eagle, and instead of looking to the Father, we're looking down, thinking of all the trouble we're going to get into or the things that might happen to us. You see, there's a reason for all of this, because God doesn't just let us go to let us go. He lets us go to let us grow, let us gain strength. You see, Moses was teaching that the result of the discipline of disturbance is a higher life. Do you want to just hang out on the side of the nest? Do you just want to live in the thorns of the nest all your life? Do you want to be happy with just having a worm here or there and staying in the nest, never being able to fly? Listen, God's disturbance for us is that we might have a higher life, that we might actually learn to fly in His grace. Verse 13 says, He made him ride in the heights of the sun and of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the fields. See, God was teaching a life lesson here, doing it through Moses, that as the eagle does this, so does God. He stirs up the nest of our complacent lives, whether through trials or persecution or struggles, God will not let us fall. And let me complete that thought. Maybe I should say, God will let us fall, but He won't let us crash. Somebody said, you know, it wasn't the fall that got him. It was that quick stop at the end. Isn't that the way God is for us? He might let us fall, but He never lets us crash. He stirs up the nest of our life, but He doesn't let us fall to our death. He's there to catch us, to help us grow. He's always nearby, always watching, always strengthening us to accomplish His will, not our will, His will, to teach us, to conform us to His image, and to ultimately bless us beyond our imagination. And we think we're going through all this heartache and difficulty, but God is just wanting us to go beyond what we already know, what we've already learned. In a time of difficulty or trial, I guess we just need to be asking, God, what are you trying to tell me? Maybe we need to ask ourselves, how long have I nested here? How long have I stayed in this comfort? How long have I been here without trying to grow in God, without looking to God for my next direction? Maybe we need to ask ourselves, is my trial a push from God? Maybe my discomfort is supposed to be leading me to look at God the Father. And if I don't look at something now, and I'm getting out on the edge of this nest, is God going to push me into something deeper so that I will listen to Him? I guess if we don't take this hint when God begins to push us a little bit, we could go into something even more difficult. Because at some point, He will push us from the nest so that we will grow in Him and hold on to Him. Can I ask you to pray with me? Would you just bow your head, close your eyes? And will you take this to the Lord? It has been my heart and my desire this morning to try to convey to you that God will push us to growth beyond ourselves so that we can get out of the tiny nest we're in and see what He wants us to see and do. Here's the question for you. Is God speaking to your heart today? Is God trying to convey something to you? In what ways is God showing you to start trusting Him? Could your current trials be a push from God? An encouragement to fly with Him? I'm going to ask you, would you seek His heart right now? Would you seek the heart of God and ask Him, Lord, what do you want to show me? What do you want to teach me?